Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The day of Pentecost was a five-alarm fire. No question about it. There wasn't a literal fire, you know, nor was there a strong wind, which increases the ferocity and spread of a fire. For a single fire department, a five-alarm fire means that the fire is so huge, all hands are on deck. But for the newborn church, this was figuratively a fire of epic proportions, so much so that nothing could put it out. We gather together each year on this day to hear the story when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles like a rush of a violent wind, with tongues as of fire dancing on their heads. People from all nations hearing the apostles speaking in their own language, and more than 3,000 people responding by being baptized into Christ. What a day. This spiritual blaze started in Jerusalem and continues to spread throughout the entire world. It's the fire of the church God loved, Christ died for, and the Spirit fanned into a wildfire. It's a fire that's been burning for 2,000 years plus. When it appears to burn out in one area, it lights anew in another area. Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:8, "The wind blows where it wills, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes." Those who live in the realm of church analytics are concerned about the advancement of the church today. As we crunch the numbers, it's easy to become disheartened to see a church that seems to be losing its zeal and energy. What once was a raging fire seems to be a smoldering pile of ashes. Has the church burned out? When Jesus was preaching and doing miraculous deeds, he was challenged by the Pharisees who were plotting to kill him. Matthew records that he left that area but continued to do his healing ministry. Matthew reminds us of Jesus' mission in chapter 12, quoting the prophet Isaiah when he says, "Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break." And listen to this, "A smoldering wick he will not quench." Even Jesus must have felt disheartened, as so many of us in the church today see a decline in church attendance, and more importantly, in the participation of his mission. And yet Jesus didn't call it quits. Even when God appeared to be beat up and snuffed out, he continued in his calling. Rallying behind Jesus' mission today can feel like rooting for the 1899 Cleveland Spiders. Have you ever heard of that baseball team? I hadn't either. They had absolutely the worst major league record in history. They were 20 wins and 134 losses. So when you hear the story of the day of Pentecost, it's easy to wonder, what are we missing? Where's the fire today? After all, I doubt that our celebration this morning will include a violent wind or fire or miraculous speech. There might be a little hot air from the preacher. So are we missing something? Where is the wind and the fire today? Where's the excitement of that first Pentecost day? Perhaps a better question is to ask the question, where is the Holy Spirit today? After all, isn't that the point of Pentecost? Wasn't it the fulfillment of Jesus' promise to give us the Holy Spirit? So the question today is not to ask, where's the wind and where's the fire, but where's the Holy Spirit? And when we answer that question today, I'm hoping that we'll all feel a little bit more like the men on the road to Emmaus, who, after recognizing that Jesus had been in their midst, said, "Did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road and opened to us the Scriptures?" And if we ask the question in that way, then we do indeed have a pretty exciting answer. Because the Holy Spirit is, without a doubt, here with us today in some very amazing and powerful ways. Let me share three of those ways with you this morning. The disciples on the road to Emmaus give us a great clue to understanding the Spirit's presence among us. The Holy Spirit is here and comes to us today through God's holy word. The divinely inspired, faith-producing, life-changing word of God, which connects us all to Christians going way back to that first Pentecost Sunday, and connects us to the God who inspired and guided us in every word. The same Holy Spirit who inspired Peter to preach on that first Pentecost is here with us today. As we hear again those ancient words, those who heard Peter that day heard him speak in their own language. And so do we, at least as far as I can get it out of my mouth. Just as many Christians around the world today are hearing this in their own language. It may not seem as miraculous, but I think it's pretty incredible to think of Christians around the world today hearing the Word of God in their own language. Pastor Daniel has returned back to his home in Ghana. And he's been working on an advanced degree at Concordia Seminary so that he would be able to teach at the seminary in Ghana. He has quite an impressive record of ministry so far in Ghana. Since 2003, he has been the Volta regional pastor. Currently, the church in the Volta region has about 150 adults, 85 youth, and 250 children. So about a total of 487 in seven preaching stations that he has served over and is the head pastor. He's also served as the secretary to the Ministerial Conference Constitutional Review Committee, held the position of chairman of the Ministerial Conference in Ghana. For 12 years was a national youth pastor, 11 years as the Lutheran Hour coordinator in the Volta region. But there's something else that I think is more important for you to know about Pastor Daniel. He also helped to translate several of the articles from our Lutheran confessions into the Eve language, his mother tongue. He also translated two other books, A Children's Garden Bible Stories and the book Jesus Never Fails, into his language. Now remember, English is his second language, and he just completed a year of New Testament Greek. The Pentecost miracle continues. And through the Word of God proclaimed here in Ghana and around the world, the Holy Spirit continues to be poured out into the hearts of believers, of listeners, producing faith and trust in our God. Yes, the Holy Spirit is alive through the inspired Word of God, first and foremost. But that's not the only place where the Holy Spirit reveals himself today. The second way that the Holy Spirit comes to us is through the gathered congregation. As Martin Luther put it in his small catechism, the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and makes holy the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in Christ Jesus in the one common true faith. The Holy Spirit is the reason we're here today. The Holy Spirit calls and gathered us here, just as he has done for centuries all around the world. The Holy Spirit comes, gathers us, gives us a variety of gifts for the common good. As Paul says, now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. The Spirit has been poured out upon all flesh, as Peter reminds us in his famous sermon, young and old, men and women, have all been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we come together to share our gifts and insights and become more than we can possibly be on our own. The Pentecost miracle happened when the apostles were together in one place. And that's not a coincidence. The Holy Spirit likes his church to be together. Something more important happens when we're together. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is present when we gather in his name, which we do whenever we worship together. The Holy Spirit can come to us when we're alone, of course. But Scripture teaches us that coming together in Jesus' name is the best way to discover the Spirit among us. And finally, as we gather at the Spirit's calling and gathering, coming together in Jesus' name, there is another way the Holy Spirit comes to us, and that is through the sacraments. When Peter finished his sermon on the day of Pentecost, those who heard it asked him, "What should we do?" And he responded, "Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." They will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit not through the wind or the fire, but through holy baptism. And it is in baptism that we too first received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, it may not seem all that exciting, but to be baptized means that there has been a profound change in each one of us. The Holy Spirit is not just some external force or thing out in the world, but a person who resides in the heart of every believer, whose presence purifies, teaches, admonishes, comforts, and enlivens. How you know he is present is by the fruit of the Spirit. You've heard of the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Those are the things that are evident, and we see as the church gathers together, the baptized into Christ. Those are his gifts. Right after those who heard Peter's sermon were baptized, what did they do? The very next verse says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. In other words, they gathered together as community to hear the word and to celebrate Holy Communion. That's where the miracle of Pentecost continued to be enjoyed and realized in the church, then and now. When we gather in the name of Jesus, remember our baptisms, devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the breaking of bread and the prayers, God is present. We may not have the wind and fire today, but we are here, gathered in Jesus' name, doing the very things that the church has done since that very first Pentecost Sunday. And that means that the Holy Spirit is present among us now, just as He was then. You know, it's so tempting to think today that we need more. Often churches will look for something more exciting and more thrilling to engage the people. We need more wind. We need more fire, they would say. But I think we Lutherans are at our best when we refuse to believe that the church needs anything more than the Word, the congregation gathered in Jesus' name, and the sacraments. That's where God locates His presence. Because we believe, teach, and confess that it is through these means of grace that God gives us all that we need for our salvation. When a Christian knows that the Lord is near, it's not the fireworks of Pentecost that gives us comfort, but the sure and certain Word of God, that fellowship that we so enjoy with one another, the consolation of Scripture, and the brethren, the promise of the forgiveness of sins in the sacraments that help us cling to Christ and give us hope. You see, the point of Pentecost is not the wind and the fire. The point of Pentecost is God's Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who brings to the church all the gifts of God, all that we need, life and salvation. But if the point of Pentecost is the imparting of the Holy Spirit to us, then the result of Pentecost is the sharing of the good news of the gospel with others. Do you remember what Jesus said right before the Pentecost miracle? He said, "And you will receive power from on high when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So, if you're baptized, if you have heard God's word today, if you will receive Holy Communion, then I have good news for you. The Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you have received the power needed to be our Lord's witnesses, even to the ends of the earth. And it doesn't matter how young or how old you are, no matter how mobile or limited your mobility, no matter if you're just embarking on life's journey or you're sitting in view of the sunset of your life, the Holy Spirit is in you and will give you the zeal for sharing the gospel of God's grace to our world. A couple of weeks ago, I received a video on my phone, a little clip. I'd like to show it to you. Here's little Evie, I think age 3. Does that sound right? Where's Brian? Kim? Kim's not here? Age 3, Evie? Yes. Okay. Well, let's watch her proclaim her of the word.
Jesus, who loved the world, gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him will not pass, but have eternal life. John 3:16.
In the middle of his career, pastoral ministry, the Spirit is at work also in Pastor Daniel. I don't have a clip for him. As he proclaims the Word of God and gathers with his church and distributes the sacraments to the people in Ghana. And among our own aging congregation here at Blessed Savior, there are others. Our dear Gwen Kemp has been struggling with a brain tumor for over a year now. Sometimes she's confused because of her condition, but she has been zealous regarding her faith in Christ and her expressing her readiness to be with her Lord. What a witness. Wayne said to me the other day, her husband, she and God have this thing going. It almost sounded like an affair. It is the Spirit of God living in her that he was telling me. There won't be any violent wind or fire today. We're not here for the wind and the fire. We are here to worship God behind the wind and the fire, to give thanks for the gift of God's only Son who died to save us and forgive us. We are here to receive again the promised Holy Spirit who unites us all to God in ways that are beyond our imagination. The church is the place where miraculously each and every Sunday the Holy Spirit comes again to those who gather in Jesus' name through the great and awesome miracles of hearing God's word and receiving his Holy Supper. Nothing's changed in all those centuries. We are here for the same reason the church has always met together. May we continue to respond to the ever-present call of the Holy Spirit, who gathers, calls, enlightens us, literally sets us on fire on earth, now and forevermore. And God's people said, Amen.